Chapter 27, The Case of Perry Mason's Lost Case. In the Senate, the lion's share of your work gets done through the committees on which you serve, and you get your committee assignments from your party leader. A couple of weeks before I was sworn in, I met with Harry Reid. Harry told me he thought I'd be great on the Judiciary Committee. I pointed out that there are a lot of lawyers in the U.S. Senate, and that I wasn't one of them. "That's why I want you there, Al. We need members with that perspective on judiciary. You'll be great." Of course, Harry was just BSing. I was the last senator to arrive, and he had a spot to fill on judiciary. During my first week in the Senate, the Judiciary Committee began the confirmation hearings of Judge Sonia Sotomayor for her nomination to the Supreme Court. As the most junior of the 20 members of the committee, I sat at the end of the dais, next to Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania. Arlen had presided over the most recent Supreme Court confirmation hearing for Samuel Alito as the Republican chairman of the committee. But as you will recall, when he switched parties and became a Democrat, the Democratic caucus had stripped Arlen of his seniority because he had made intemperate remarks about yours truly. It had to be more than a little galling for the former chairman of the committee to have to sit next to me. In an attempt to lighten what must have been an uncomfortable moment, I turned to Arlen when he took his place on the first day of the hearings and said, "I'm sorry you have to sit next to a pisher like me." Pisher is Yiddish for pisher. Arlen smiled graciously, appreciative of my humility and my appeal to our kinship as members of a people traumatized by centuries of persecution. At least I think that was what was going on. I was the last member to make my opening 10-minute statement, becoming the first person in American history to have both participated in a Supreme Court confirmation hearing and also played a senator in a sketch about a Supreme Court confirmation hearing. I played Senator Paul Simon in a very substantive SNL sketch about the Clarence Thomas hearings. I used the time to develop my thesis that the Roberts Court was an activist court, making 1-5-4 pro-corporate ruling after another. That's a pretty common critique now, but I was actually the first judiciary member to make it. Court watchers were a little startled that this was coming from the comedian. As Republican members spent hour upon hour obsessing over Sotomayor's wise Latina remarks, Democrats picked up on my activist court theme. When it was time for my 30-minute round of questioning, I was set to bring it home. But I began by referring back to something Amy Klobuchar had asked Judge Sotomayor about earlier in the hearing, which is why Sotomayor had chosen to become a prosecutor. Sotomayor answered that she had been inspired by watching Perry Mason as a kid. I, too, had watched a lot of Perry Mason as a kid, and so I started my questioning by asking her why she was inspired to become a prosecutor by a show in which the prosecutor, Hamilton Berger, lost every case. And she said, "Actually, Perry Mason lost one case." Now, I wanted to get to my substantive point, so I said, "Well, we'll return to that later," not actually intending to do so, and I went into my questions. But with about 2 minutes left, I didn't really have time to develop my next line of questioning, so instead I just said, "Judge Sotomayor, you said that Perry Mason lost one case." "Yes," she responded. "Which case was that?" I asked. "I don't know." I waited a beat and said, "Didn't the White House prepare you?" Big laugh. My time had now run out, which meant the committee's questioning was over, and the senators on the committee went off to a separate room to receive a classified members-only briefing on the nominee's FBI background check. Meanwhile, the web was blowing up about my groundbreaking critique of the Roberts Court. No, it was blowing up about what case it was that Perry Mason lost. As we filed into the room where we were to receive the briefing, I was still sort of feeling like the new kid in school standing alone in the lunch line. I didn't really know any of the Republicans on the committee, beyond some passing niceties with Lindsey Graham and the Subway meet cute with Chuck Grassley. And then Tom Coburn of Oklahoma walked in and announced authoritatively, Actually, Perry Mason lost two cases. And then Jeff Sessions drawled, "You know what I liked? Dragnet." Then John Cornyn of Texas chimed in, "I liked Highway Patrol." So, looking for a chance to bond, I said, "I worked with Broderick Crawford." Crawford had been the star of Highway Patrol, but was also an iconic tough guy movie star who had won the Oscar for Best Actor in All the King's Men. And boom, every Republican in the room just stopped. "You worked with Broderick Crawford?" And I said, "Yeah, he hosted during the first season of Saturday Night Live." And I told them about how the Thursday of that week I'd been assigned to mine Crawford because it was St. Patrick's Day, and he started drinking very early in the day. Thursdays were the day we taped promos, usually around 1 in the afternoon, and I'd written a promo for Broderick and Gilda Radner where he had 5 lines and she had 1. But Broderick was already really soused at this point, so I took a line away from him, and he had 4 lines, and now Gilda had 2. Then I had to make it 3 and 3. By the end, Gilda had 5 lines, and Broderick had 1, and we got the thing on tape. Anyway, I'm telling this story, and suddenly all my Republican colleagues are going, "You really were in show business. You worked with Broderick Crawford." So this was my first big breakthrough with my Republican colleagues. My point is, the Senate is filled not just with lawyers, but with old white men. By the way, the two cases that Perry Mason lost were the case of the deadly verdict and the case of the terrified typist.